Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and again are so thankful that we can gather together, worship you, get to understand you more, grow in you more. And Lord, I pray that this service be a blessing in your sight in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. I will be in Galatians chapter 5 today, verses 22 through 24. While you're turning there, this is you get to say something and I get to listen. What are some of the news articles that you guys have come across lately? Some things going on in the world or in the USA or local? What kind of events that have happened? I know some of them just got mentioned. Yes?
Kids being saved out of trafficking.
Kids being saved out. Good news, yes. We have good news coming up. What else?
Mm-mm.
Awesome. I didn't hear it. Nope. I should. Okay. Sometimes, yes. Anything else going on?
Upcoming election.
Oh, boy. Well, without getting political, oh, boy. Those get interesting. And we had the recent shootings. We have had the interesting weather. And actually, the surrounding area, Burke. What else has happened? There's been a lot of water. A lot of water. Is there a theme going on? A lot of not good stuff going on. Makes the most news is the not good stuff. Okay, this week has just been really unique with the tragedies, the past couple weeks. And today we're going to be looking at peace. With all this stuff going around, God orchestrates things. I don't know how he does it. He does. So let us read Galatians 5, verses 22 through 24. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified with the flesh, with its passions and desires." Now, this has been an ongoing series, The Fruit of the Spirit. I had no idea how long this was going to take me to get through. It is a really fascinating study. We started off looking at love was the first thing we looked at. And have you guys been cultivating these or giving opportunity for these to be shown through your lives? I sure hope you have. And the first one we looked at was love, and how that is a selfless love, putting others first and meeting their initial needs. And then we talked about joy, and saw that joy is not found in the moment, is not found in happiness per se, rather found through the saving work of Christ, knowing that anything we go through, we know that God is going to be glorified somehow, and we have joy in our salvation, joy in Christ. Now we're going to look at the next part of the fruit of the Spirit, and that is peace. Again, as we remember, joy cannot be measured by the absence of unpleasant circumstances, just as peace cannot be defined in terms of the cessation of war, strife, or violence. It is not found in a time of goodness, always. Now, the Greek word for peace is eirene, and it is actually close to the Jewish concept of shalom. When a Jew says shalom, he says it is an idea of completeness, soundness, welfare, and peace, or even success. It is said at a greeting and salutations to show that not only is there peace between the two parties, but that both parties want what is best for the other person. Yet the idea is that a person can have shalom because of God's grace. We have the idea that when one says shalom, they are saying, I hope God blesses you and makes you complete, sound, and good health, harmony with your neighbor, harmony for our country, and continue blessing. It's also interesting that when Paul starts off a lot of his letters, he starts off by saying, peace to you, peace to you. Paul also spoke of both peace with God and peace of God. Two interesting phrases. The phrase peace with God is a result of one being justified by faith. So go in your Bibles, go to Romans 5, 5 verse 1, Romans 5, 1. Or if you're one of those that like the Bible apps, feel free to use your Bible apps. I've got no problem with that either. It says, Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can see that it is a result of faith that God allows us to have peace with Him. We first off need Christ to cover us, to forgive us, to justify us in front of a holy God. Prior to that, we cannot have peace on our own accord with God. We need His covering. Later down in Romans 5:10, it states, for while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. It takes Christ's work to cover us. It takes Christ to allow us to have peace with God. Because prior to having Christ in our lives, are we friends with God? No, we are enemies. Enemies. Oh boy. We are enemies before Christ. We can have peace with Him. When we're covered by Christ, that is how we have that peace with God. Now we'll look at the peace of God, and that would be a human understanding of peace. It is given by God, Philippians 4:7. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Christian is called to be a peacemaker with the family, with their neighbor, and beyond. The book of Hebrews tells the people, to make every effort to do what leads to peace. Hebrews 12:14 states, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Strive for peace. It's easy to say, sometimes really difficult to do. Now, we as believers need to be peaceful with one another. This takes a lot of different forms. It means that we are to be calm in situations. We are to listen before we react and pray about things. It means that we should avoid fighting with one another. It means handling situations with a Christ-like attitude. The church, or the body of believers, are to be at peace with one another So the unity can remain and God is glorified through the church. It means to look toward the best solution in confrontations. And not to bury our feelings. Now, making peace with people means forgiving them for the offense that they have done. Not bearing the pain and denial. Only for it to raise up when our emotions get triggered. We like to stuff it down, don't we, sometimes? And just blow it off without actually dealing with it. It's not peacemaking. That is lying to oneself. When we make peace with people, we consciously choose to forgive our offender and move on with our lives. We approach our offender and tell them that they have done wrong in a loving way, in a compassionate way, in an understanding way, and forgive them even when they don't ask for it. We're supposed to forgive without them asking us to forgive them. This is done so that bitterness will not take roots in our heart. Next is grow through it. Peacemaking doesn't mean setting ourselves up for another world of hurt. When we make peace with others, we must never let our guard down. We just let go of the offense, but we don't allow it to happen again. Peace is defined as the freedom from disturbance or agitation in relation with others. We don't have a quarrel with them, nor do we breed any ill feelings against them. We're basically in a state of quiet as far as others are concerned. With this in mind, making peace doesn't have to mean trying to please others. It simply means we release the offenses and hold no hurt against one another while we're doing our best to protect ourselves. Finally, be careful. While peacemaking is a godly character, there'll be times when making peace can be dangerous. Case in point, abusiveness. The Bible tells us to be forgiving, but it also tells us that we should be wise because we're sent out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Thus, we must be careful who we choose as friends. Who we spend our most time with. Some offenders, though already forgiven, are best kept at a distance. I have said this before, there are some people that we have to love from a distance. Sometimes we get along with people when we don't see them for a period of time. There are some people to keep at peace with them. Sometimes have to stay at a distance sometimes. But here's the deal, you need to love them. There has to be that love. But sometimes personalities get in the way to where you understand that you're different from that other person and you're not going to see necessarily eye to eye. When you get together, you're going to go through this useless argument to where nobody wins. I've got friends like that. There are some times that we're best off not talking about certain things. See, we must always try to be wise. Always try to be wise. Make the good choices on what is beneficial for both. Now, that is one part of peace that we looked at. It's just one part. Let's examine it just a little bit closer as we study it in the context of the fruit of the Spirit produces. Now, peace has no relationship to moment or circumstances. Most Christians know the Romans 8:28 passage. Romans 8:28, it's a great verse. A lot of times taken out of context, but it's a wonderful verse. It says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose." Wonderful passage. Wonderful passage. Because God is in control of all aspects of a believer's life, whatever situation that he or she faces, or any circumstances they find themselves in human standpoint, makes no never mind to him. What it's saying is it doesn't matter what you're going through. It shouldn't affect a calmness that should be over you. You see, God, the believer knows that God is in control overall. And the believer should not worry. That takes a lot of work, doesn't it? Who in here worries? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Who gets anxious? Oh, yeah. All of us, we all struggle with that. How many of us know that God is in control? How many of us 100% believe that God is in control? Good. I doubt it sometimes in my own. I'm like, why is this happening to me? God, what are you doing? Oh, wait, you're in control. You know better. You know better than I do. Jesus said in John 14:1, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Let not your hearts be troubled. For a believer, is there a reason, a good reason, why we should worry or be afraid? Is there a really good reason? If we truly believe that God is in control, why do we worry? It's human nature, yes. It's something we're supposed to die to, right? We're supposed to leave that at the cross and say, "God, make me a new person." And the really cool thing is God, and it's not weird, but God doesn't instantaneously make us perfect. If we were all perfect once we were believers, we would be with Him. We wouldn't face challenges and struggles like we do. The growing process, knowing that God is still there to guide us each step of the way. We rely on Him and His guidance. Now, peace is a mindset that we must have. We will know what perfect peace looks like when we're with Jesus. But right now, none of us are perfect. We're all a work in progress right now. As we continue to work on peace, we can allow the Spirit, because we do the work, it's the Spirit that displays the fruit. We do the work and He shows the result. So how do we do our part in being at peace? First off, go back to the basics. Go back to the basics of Christianity. Remember that Christ died for you, and your salvation is not based upon your works. Nothing you did, but through faith in the works of Christ for your salvation. It's what Christ did that saves us. If one is in Christ, then they are sealed by the Holy Spirit and secure in their salvation. Now, if you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, then one has a peace that is within them. They know this world is temporary, and Christ will make things perfected later on. That is the mindset the believer is to have, that God is in control and nothing happens outside of His sight. There's nothing hidden. He sees all. He secured us through Christ and He calls us His children. We are to trust Him in all areas of our lives. All areas. relationship, financial, free time, work time, sleep time, all hard times, good times, all areas of our life. But is it easy? No, it's not easy. Because of our human nature. Especially when difficult times come our way. How do we find peace in those hard times? How do we find peace when the world is crashing around us? The believers to train their mind to believe that this world is not their home. If you are in Christ, this place is not your home. Those in Christ have peace knowing that the pain and persecution is temporary. Although when we're going through it, it seems like eternity. If you're going through a hard situation, every minute feels like an hour when you're just waiting and waiting or working through or waiting for something. There is no way we can have peace and rely on the world, the worldly ways. There's no way. As we look at what's actually recently been going on in the news, the devastation that is happening, it can be heartbreaking. It's devastating. People losing their homes, people losing their lives. All kinds of horrible situations going on. How do we get through that? How can we have peace through that? We must cling to the promise of God that He is in control and knows that this time on earth is temporary. As I even reflect back on some things that has happened, even when we go back to 9/11, a lot of people died that day. What happened the following day? As short-lived as it was, people turned to God. People turned to God for help and for guidance. There was a day of it. A day of, I'm not sure how heartfelt the revival was in certain people, but it changed certain people. Tragic events have a way of opening our eyes up to the things of God. Not always, but sometimes. That is one way He can be glorified through situations. And the thing we ask the most sometimes is, why did this happen? God, why'd you allow this to happen? God, why am I going through this? It's okay to ask that. He's not going to answer you all the time. Later on, it's going to be revealed. We need to remember, again, we are strangers in this world. Or another translation would be, we are aliens in this world. This isn't our home. While we're here, we all have jobs to do. We all have work to do. Did the Bible promise us good times? Did the Bible promise us a time of emotional peace? No. No. So when things happen, and it's kind of rocking our world just a little bit, we need to look towards Christ. He's got a plan. We don't always understand, and we will question. That's part of growing closer to God. Just tell Him, God, why did this happen? Why am I going through this? And then look beyond that. God, how are you going to be glorified through this? We shouldn't be worried about what's going to happen to ourselves. We should be worried about how this is going to bring glory to God. And Paul, he's an exceptional person. He was in the trenches all the time. But he looked forward to what God was doing. He was in prison. Yet he saw how God was working, how he got to minister to the jailers, how he got to minister to those around him, the other prisoners. We need to have that trust. We need to trust God and therefore obey him. God is glorified when we look towards him, even though we don't understand what is going on. Now, in order for a believer to have this peace, again, it comes down to trust. It is a trust that you just don't know up here, but you believe. You have to believe it. We live out what we believe. People will see in your life that you trust him. Yes, we will face hurt, sorrow, and we will grieve. But we have Christ. The believer has Christ. And he will see us through all things. Again, it's a mindset. You have to have your mind focused on the things of God. There's something else that I found. They say, I'd also like to say that you should be on guard, since there can be a false sense of peace. This false sense can be very tempting and draw us away from peace we have in Christ. It says, be careful when those who are not believers, who do not know about peace or promote peace, for we know that one of the marks of the end times is there will be a cry of peace and safety, but there is no peace and safety. In fact, it is possible for them to argue that Jesus desires peace. Jesus wants peace on earth. Now be careful, he says, because Jesus does not want peace, but that peace will come with the coming of Jesus. There's going to be a false sense of peace. You need to be on your guard about that. True peace will come when he comes. We should never compromise our faith or our Savior in order to achieve peace. We notice the words of Jesus in Matthew 10:34. Jesus is warning us that though we may desire peace and desire a world without wars and persecution, there will be persecution. A day is coming when there will be peace. It's in the future. However, until that day, the cost of discipleship is Jesus first. Jesus first. Be willing to take up your cross every day and follow him. Again, that means you're willing to lay down your life for the gospel. While Jesus is first, others will be very happy, right? They'll be very upset. They will persecute you. If you cave into the persecution and compromise, then I don't think you're a true disciple. If you're a disciple of Jesus, you're going to follow him. If you're not, you're going to fall away. If you do not carry your cross to the end, who are you following? You know, we live in a time... We live in a time that being a non-Christian is glorified. We live in a time to where the agnostic is glorified. We live in a time to where the atheist is glorified. We live in a time to where the Buddhist is glorified. We live in a time to where you can follow the Muslim religion. And it's okay. It's okay with the world because you're not following Jesus if you follow those other ones. Those other ones, do they talk much about peace? Talk about, let's take the Quran for just, is that a book of peace? Yes. According to itself. According to peace, when all infidels are Yes. Yes. Their goal is to kill all those who oppose them, right? What did Jesus say? Did he say persecute those Roman people? Did he say to chop their heads off or anything? No. He said to do what to your neighbor? Love your neighbor. It's about love. It's about putting them first. It's a peaceful thing. But yet for the Christian, they're going to be persecuted because they follow him. It doesn't make sense in my mind. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to be hated. And there's going to come a time, I don't know if it's going to be in my lifetime or not, to when we might not be able to meet like this. There could be that time. It could be short. It could be in a few years. It could be hundreds of years. I have no idea. But right now we have a security right here where we live. We have a sense of peace. But what happens when things get even more real? What happened when the end gets closer and closer and closer? Are people going to see who we follow? Are we going to have that peace? Are they going to see there's something different? Today we looked at peace. And that peace comes from God. We can have peace with God because of the saving work of Christ. It's what he has done. And we can rest assured in that. We can have, and that's where our joy comes from. That's where we have peace. Knowing that he is in control. He puts people in places. He sets up governments. We can complain all we want to about those in authority. God put them there. God's got a plan. We'll find out later. He allows certain things to happen. But here's the deal. In the end, after everything is said and done, God will be glorified. In the future, those that are in Christ will live at peace, will be with God. The new earth, the new Jerusalem. That is our hope. We don't understand what's going on right now all the time, but we need to trust God because he knows what's best for us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and Lord, we struggle with many different things. We sometimes let the world engulf us. We get swallowed up by this world. Help us to find peace in you. Help us to find understanding in you. Help us to grow closer to you. Help us to follow you more closely. Lord, times are coming to when it's going to be even tougher. We got it pretty easy right now. We got it pretty easy. Lord, guide us in all that we do. In all that we say, we don't know how much time we have left. Only you do. You know the time, the hour, and the day. All things happen through you. You will guide us through these the way that you do best. And your will be done. Equip us as we go out these doors. As we go out into the mission field, help us to bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I leave you with Luke 12, verse 31. In the context of talking about do not be anxious, it says, verse 31, instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. You are dismissed.